We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Hallelujah. You know, we're dealing with principles from God's Word on marriage, on relationships. How many of you have been here this month that have been blessed by this teaching already? Amen. And if you haven't been here this month, make sure you get the recordings. They're online. You can get them on our website, on YouTube, on podcasts, whatever you like to listen to, or however you like to listen to it. You can listen to our sermons and listen to these messages again and again. I want to give one book. I mean, actually, I'll give you two. I mean, there's a whole bunch that I've just been reading on the subject that have just been really great. One is an older book written, actually, I think they're both somewhat older, but one is written by Dr. James Dodson, What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women, or What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Themselves, I don't know, something like that. It's What Wives Wish, I guarantee if you type it into Google, James Dodson, What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew, the rest will come up. And then the other one is by Dr. Miles Monroe. And if you remember last week, I mentioned a church that had pastors coming to them and asking, you know, how is your divorce rate so low in your church? And he was the pastor that said, I personally teach a 9-month course to any single couple that wants to get married in our church. And so he actually wrote a book that has been very helpful as I've taught these messages, and I've learned a lot from him on the subject. And that book is called Single, Married, Separated, and Life After Divorce. And so it's really good if you fit into any one of those categories. How many of you here today fit into one of those categories? Okay, for the rest of you, we'll pray that you join us later. Because that covers everyone. And so it's a really good book on the subject. But so if you want to do some more research and homework and studying on that, I would recommend those two books. And, you know, I think I probably should give, like, a book for the ladies. I gave one for, like, the guys, really. But, I mean, there's those two books that we read while I was in Bible school. What were those called? For men only and for women only. So, ladies, if you want to figure out why your man is the way he is, those are good. And same thing for the guys to figure out your ladies, which I'll say ladies are much more confusing than guys. More confusing. And guys, we're more simple, but we're not necessarily more, not any more intelligent. Okay. Now, today I'm going to start beating up on the guys, and because we didn't finish last week, and then I'm going to finish by letting the ladies have it. But before I do, I want to have my wife come and just share briefly her heart on the subject. She is my partner in life, and she has teamed up with the Lord Jesus to work on me and create me into being something. What that is, we haven't fully figured out yet, but she's doing her best job. And besides the Lord Jesus, our Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit, she's been my number one supporter and my number one encourager and my number one source of wisdom and advice, and she's always there for me. She's always dependable, and so I can't say enough good things about her. Why don't you come, sweetheart, and share what the Lord has put on your heart this morning?
Yeah. Hello, my husband. I'm very thankful for 5 years we've been married. It'll be 6 years this June.
There it is.
Just kidding. No, but I'm extremely thankful. These have been the best 5 years of my life, and I don't say that lightly because, you know, for most of you, you know my testimony, where I came from a really rough, you know my testimony. It's pretty bad. So it's nice to know that God can, that He loves you so much that He can redeem you, that He can forgive you from your past, from everything, and then He can just give you His best. So I'm so thankful that the Lord saved my husband for me, that, you know, this is my one and my only marriage, that I will be married to him all of my life. And, you know, when we got married, we were kids. We were, you know, young and in love. And, but it takes, we still are, that's right. But it takes two people who are totally submitted to the other person. It takes two people that are sacrificial, that are going to say, I'm going to love you even when I don't feel like it, but I'm going to let God love you through me. And you make that decision in unity. And the biggest key I can give for marriage is fight for your unity. In every season, in every circumstance, you have to have unity in your home. You have to have unity to raise your kids. You have to have unity to have a happy home. You have to have unity in relationships with your, you know, extended family. The devil does not want you to have a happy home. The devil is out to destroy your family, to destroy your marriage, to destroy your children. And you have to make a decision that there's not going to be strife, that there's not going to be discord, that there's not going to be anger. This is a place of peace. This is a place of love. This is a place of unity. The kids need to see that you are one. Mommy and daddy are not separate. It's not like, oh, I'm, you know, go ask your father. Or, oh, you know, I'm going to go to mommy because she's a bit more emotional, so she'll get into what I want. You know, I did that growing up as a kid. You know, so it's like, well, mom, if I just say, well, I don't really have any friends, so maybe I'll get out of my grounding or whatever, and mom will feel bad, so then, you know, I can, you know, whatever. Anyway, I'm just saying, you have to, in your marriage, know that you are, that you and your spouse are one, that the kids are not going to separate you, that a job, that anything is going to destroy and come in between that unity. That's what the Lord ordains, that's what the Lord blesses, is when you are in one accord, in one unity. There might be a time where you're trying to figure something out, you privately go and discuss it, and you figure it out. You know, really, in the beginning of when we were dating, we never fought. We never had a single fight when we were dating. So a lot of you, that's some issues right there. Maybe if you're fighting a lot with your partner or someone that you're interested in getting married to, you got to figure some stuff out before you're ready then to be in a relationship. But because then we did marriage counseling, we all got on the same page, and it worked things out. We had communicated. We talked about serious issues. There was no, like, you know, skeletons in the closet. Oh, you have three kids from previous relationships I have no clue about. You know, we knew things. Okay, yeah, we'll talk about that privately. But, you know, we got on the same page with things. We worked things out, and we agreed that this was what we were, you know, going to, and what we were going to, you know, agree to. But ultimately, when you get married, you're saying a promise to the Lord. You're saying, Lord, I am going to love this person. I am going to put them first. I am going to make the decision that when I'm upset or I'm angry or whatever, that I'm not going to, you know, it's easy to walk in the flesh. It's easy to walk by your feelings. It's easy to, you know, to try and change that person and try and yell at them and make them feel like they're the one that needs to change. It takes effort. It takes work. And, you know, women, it takes a strong, God-fearing woman to say, I'm going to submit, I'm going to respect my husband. Because, you know, we grew up in a culture where, you know, all the single ladies, and I don't need no man, Little Miss Independent, and we think we can enter into marriage and that we're going to be the leader. You know, one of the greatest decisions of my life was not living near my family, because I came through a long line of loud, boisterous leadership women. And that's not how the Lord ordained marriage. And so if you stick to the word of God, if you say, this is what the word says, and I'm going to submit to that, that's when the Lord blesses you. You know, you come up with strife and arguments and craziness. I mean, people are dealing with craziness behind closed doors. We can put on a smiling face and put on our Sunday best at church, but the reality is that people are dealing with crazy things at home. They are dealing with situations, and you need to get it figured out, because it's the most important decision of your life, who you marry after you've decided to accept Jesus. It's the most important thing. It's forever. You can't go enter into a relationship in marriage and think, well, if it doesn't work out, I'll just try again later. That's what the culture thinks. It's not that way. You have to decide, I'm going to do things the Lord's way. And let me tell you, marriage is for grown-ups.
Yeah.
And sex is not a recreational thing, it's a covenantal thing. It's between you and your spouse who the Lord ordained together. I don't care what the world tells you. I don't care, oh, well, you need to just figure it. You need to experience it so that you'll know you want to be with that person for the rest of your life. You know, I don't even know the cliches and all the crazy, you know, garbage they come up with for excuses of why you should sleep around before you're married. It's garbage. Real, true intimacy is something that's developed between spouses. It's something that you grow into, just like your relationship with the Lord. It is not something that you just decide, you know, it's like the world on TV, they make it seem like it's just another thing of just figuring out of like, you know, bathroom work. Like it's just actually like something you just do. Like I can't control myself. I just have to do this. That's not the way real intimacy is between a marriage. You develop that with your spouse. That's what you grow into. That's the most sacred thing that God gave us. It's a tool. It's a key. It's a blessing from the Lord. It's the glue that keeps the marriage together so you're not just roommates. Yeah. So that you're in love with that person for the rest of your life. Amen?
Amen.
So marriage can be the best decision or the worst decision of your life. So choose wisely. We always say if you choose wisely from the beginning, then you just kind of, you know, X out a lot of problems. But I'm so blessed. I'm so thankful to be married to this man that the Lord would save him for me and to think all the garbage and all the wrong decisions I made, but that he could redeem me, that he could restore my innocence, my purity, and that I would be able to stand here and be with this man for the rest of my life and love him and not just say that, but love him truly. I know that I love him more today than I ever did when we were dating, than I ever did when we were on our wedding day. The marriage, the love, it grows. It changes and it grows, and it's so much better the more effort and the time that you put into it when you make it a priority. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You said you're okay submitting to me, so you sit there. Smile. Say amen. All right. So we got this right. I'm the boss right here. Just totally. Say it after me. Marriage is work.
Marriage is work.
I think that's important to know going into it, that it's something that you have to work at, and it's better to be prepared going into marriage knowing that you're going to work at it. And if you went into marriage not knowing it's work, then you've already figured out by now, I have to work with this. If you don't put effort towards it, it's not going to go anywhere good anytime soon. Amen. So that's why we call this series Achieving a Happy Home, because it's something that we work at. It's something that we're working on achieving. You have to put effort into achieving your happy home. It's not going to happen on its own. Now, like I said, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. If you weren't here last week, we are dealing with the single man in the Garden of Eden and who God has designed him to be prior to having his spouse. And so that's where we're picking up. We're reading from Genesis chapter 2 in verse 15. Let's read that together. We've already dealt with a few things for the guys. You need that, go back to last week's message, but we'll get into new material this week. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man and said, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of the every tree of the garden you may eat, freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. We're going to come back to the helper in a few moments. But so we left off dealing on this instruction of cultivate. And so I didn't really have time to finish it last week. So we're talking about how God told man to cultivate the garden, which means to bring out the fruitfulness of it, to bring out the life, to make it flourish, to take care of it, to tend it. And in this illustration, that's what we're talking about with men, that we're to do that with our wives, is that we're to cultivate them, ladies, turn to your husband and say, cultivate me. You don't have to do that. But you know, that's what we're talking about, is men bringing out the best out of their wives, not living in fear of or in competition to your spouse, but to support and to figure out what is it that my wife needs to improve on and how can I help her improve in those areas. What is it that my wife is good at and she needs some extra encouragement in? How can I be the better spouse to lead and be a role model for her? So we're to bring out the best in everything around us. To do that, you fertilize the ground, you dig out the rocks, you pull out the weeds, and when you do this, you maximize the potential of the and fruitfulness of something in your presence. So God told the male to be a cultivator. A real man doesn't oppress the gifts of his wife. He encourages them. He makes room for them. He gets her the training that she needs. He improves his wife. You make the thing in your presence the best that it could be. And this is how a real man loves his wife like Jesus loves his bride. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 25 through 27. Ephesians 25 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So we see here the work of Jesus, what he did for the church. He sets free from sin. He cleanses the church with the washing of the word. He takes care of her and makes her the best she can possibly be. And then he presents her to himself. He makes her so awesome that he says, yeah, that's mine. And that's what the guy does for the lady. We provide for her. We take care of her. We nourish her. We encourage her. And we make her something that we're proud of. We make her something that, like, when we go out in public, that's my wife. Yeah, guys, your wife, she ain't coming close to my wife. And that's the way every guy should be about his own wife.
Yep.
And I think I said this last week, but guys, you have the woman, the wife that you've created. Of course, when you come into a marriage and you're new, you're two individuals merging together into one, and there's some changes and some shifting, but ultimately, if me as the husband, if I'm continually putting down my wife, if I'm only ever insulting her, if I'm never encouraging her, never telling her she's beautiful, never telling her I love her, never taking her out on a date, never saying, hey, baby, why don't you go get your nails done? And if I don't ever treat her like a gentleman should treat a woman, what kind of wife do I have? It's not her fault that she's, you know, frumpy and grumpy and, you know, no self-esteem and discouraged and resentful and all these things. I've created her. But I promise you, if we'll do what Jesus did, where he takes care of the church and he loves the church and he washes her by the washing of the word and he nourishes, cherishes, provides for, if we do all of these things for our wife, well, then she's going to be what? Happy. We say, baby, here's your purse allowance. If we say, you know, let's go get some massages. Or, you know, we take care of our spouse. She's going to be happier. So, guys, don't blame your wife. Now, I understand there's some ladies that, much as you can do to try and help them out, they're, for the meantime, a lost cause. And that's why it's important to pick out. That's why it's important to pick out the right wife. That's why it's more important than to, you know, not just try to do the hanky-panky, to not just go to the bedroom. There's much more important things in life and in marriage than that. But I have a feeling that that's what some guys are going for, And once they get that and, tie the knot, then they realize, what did I do? Also, I understand there's some times where, the ladies, even as much as you try and help them, until they get some things sorted out for themselves, there's some work that needs to be done there. But I'm not talking about them right now. I'm talking about women that love God, women that are working on becoming who God has created them to be. And if they're becoming more sad, if they're not happy in life, if they're just lonely and discouraged, then guys, it's your fault. Your wife shouldn't be lonely. Even if she is at home with the kids, when you come home, you should make it known that you came home for her, not for the television, not for your whatever it is that you feel like you need to work on. You know, there's always a million things that guys can do. I have two tree stands that I got for Christmas like 2 years ago that aren't even in my woods. I can't tell you the number of deer opportunities that I've missed because of that. There's always something else that I could be working on. But what's my priority? My priority better be my wife. Because I create her into who she is today. If she's happy today, that's because I've been working on that. I've been taking her out on dates. I've been telling her I love her. If she's really miserable, you don't have to say, well, that's a miserable woman right there. You can say, wow, she must have a crappy husband. Because, guys, it's on us. So, because Jesus, he takes care of his bride, and then he presents her to himself, and he's like, that is my bride, without spot, without blemish, without any wrinkle. She is a glorious church. That's how Jesus presents himself with his bride, and we are to do the same. A real man improves his woman. Amen? Because we're a cultivator. So, when you find a man that gives you the googly eyes, forget about love. Start asking questions. Are you in God's presence? Are you working? Do you have vision and purpose? Can you improve me? These are things that we need to ask. But what do ladies care about? Do you love me? Don't worry about love. The love will be there if he's there, if he's the right one for you. The love, the emotional side of love, is not difficult. It's the love that we dealt with a couple weeks ago, that you have to choose and make the decision to love. That's what you want to find in a man. So when Jesus met his church, his wife, you and me, we were full of sin, of the filth of the world, but he takes us and cleans us and creates something amazing with us. God put Adam in the garden and told him to take care of it. He gave him the raw materials to work with. He didn't take care of the garden for him because he designed the man to cultivate, to take care of it, to improve it. He didn't say, Adam, I'm just going to do everything for you in the garden. All you got to do is relax here in paradise. No, he told him to tend it, to keep it, to take care of it. And that's the reason that you'll never find a perfect wife just the way you want. God gave you the raw materials to work with, and he expects you to cultivate and to improve her. And after God gave man the cultivation responsibility, he told him to guard the garden. He told the single man, you are to protect everything that comes into your presence. Guys, we're bigger, we're stronger, generally the case, it's not always so, but generally speaking, guys, we're bigger, we're stronger, we're more powerful physically. But that's not to dominate the women, that's to protect them. When a man hurts a woman, he is abusing his purpose for his body. For him being bigger, for him being stronger, for him being more dominant, he's abusing the purpose that God designed his body for. The safest place for a woman should be with her husband. Amen? Now when a man and a woman, when they go out and they're in the dating period, when she goes out with him, she should come home safe. Not pregnant. Amen? Guys, a woman should feel safe with us. We're not meant to try to push them past what they're comfortable with so that we can get the gratification that we want. You know, in prison, they say, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. Right? Guys, if you're not willing to pay the price, which is a ring and a marriage vow that is till death do us part, don't think that you're going to get the other benefits of marriage. Amen? Save it for your marriage. It'll be worth it. You know, if you're a lady, don't just give that away to some guy that comes along. Make him pay for it.
Right.
Make him give you the ring. Amen? All right, then the last instruction that God gave the man, he gave him a command, do not touch the tree, right? What was this? This was God's word. This was God's instruction. It was his giving him the word. And in order for somebody to qualify to be your man, they better have the word. And they should probably know it better than you. They need to be able to teach you the word. Because we're talking about cultivating, improving. How can I improve you in the things of God if I don't even know the word more? If I'm not spending time in God's presence, if I'm not time studying the word. And you know what? It's not just a matter of knowing the word mentally, but it's actually applying it to your life too. And it's not being able to quote scriptures, because I know people that can quote scriptures and they got some very strange ideas about life. It's about rightly dividing the word of truth. And that takes some time, that takes some effort, and that takes some leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
And so as the man of the house, when spiritual things are taking place, when sickness tries to come in the home, and your man doesn't have a clue of what scripture to stand on, how is that man being the spiritual support of your home? Guys, I know we're busy, and I know we got a lot of things that we need to do in life. Things that we're always working on. But make sure that a part of your life is devoted to knowing the word so that you can be the man that God has created you to be, which isn't just their physical body. It's that you're the spiritual leader in that home as well. Amen? Today, men don't know the word, but they know every single player, first name, last name, of their favorite NFL team. But they don't know the word. They know every iron in their golf bag in order which one they need to use in order to get the exact elevation to put the ball on the green, but they don't know the word. They know every caliber of their guns and ammunition and the trajectories, but they don't know the word. They know every deer trail in their woods, but they don't know the word. They know every type of coffee brew. And whatever, they don't know the word. They know every type of shoe store out there, but they don't know the word. I don't know, in 2019, guys know a lot of strange things that they didn't used to know. But they don't know the word. Women, that's not your man. He's got to know the word. And if he doesn't change to get you, he won't change to keep you. So if he can get you with low standards, with low knowledge of the word, with low application of the word, what makes you think he's going to change suddenly when you marry him? He's not.
Right.
He's going to realize, hey, I got her pretty cheap, and so why should I invest more into that? Make sure that you're worth it.
Yeah.
Make sure that he pays the full amount. Make him sweat a little, you know? Man, she's a tough one. I gotta prove myself that I am a man of character to her, not just some guy that she'll just take anything she can get. So God said it is not good for that man to be alone. That man that is in the garden, that man that is in God's presence, that man that has his word, that man that has purpose and vision. Amen? That man that isn't afraid to worship in front of others. That's the man. Not just any man. Simply putting a man and a woman together doesn't solve any problems. That man that we're talking about is the man that we've been dealing with last week and this week, the characteristics that we're talking about. the man has to put these things in order, that God has made a priority. And then when that man is ready, then comes the helper. Now, guys, I know that was a little brutal on us and last week, but here comes the fun part for us. We're going to talk to the ladies. And I know I'm a man in 2019 talking to ladies. That's a very confrontational thing to do. And, a lot of activists out there that would oppose anything that I would say, and that I'm just sexist, and I don't know whatever creative words they use for this, but understand that it's up to you whether you want to sit here and listen to me or not. You're free to leave any time. No one forced you to come today, hopefully. And, what we're doing is we're trying to teach you principles that the world isn't going to teach you, that your teachers aren't going to teach you in school, that your friends at your job, your colleagues, your bosses, they're not going to teach you. But someone needs to tell you this, because nowadays your grandma's not going to tell you this. I can't disclose the advice that my wife got concerning me from her family when we were dating, but it was not godly advice, and it's just shocking that, generally speaking, in the, you would go to, older people for advice, but these days, older people's advice sometimes is just as bad as what's out there in the culture, and that's what she got. And so, we're going to deal with some aspects of the women, and this is because we're trying to get you to achieve a happy home. So we dealt with the guys, we're going to deal with the ladies, and if you'll do these things, and not hear these things with a filter, I was talking about that Wednesday night. I noticed some people, they hear everything that I say with a filter. They're like, well, I like that part of what you're saying, but I don't like all that other stuff about purity. I like the part where you're talking about that a man needs to give his wife a purse budget, but I don't like the thing about waiting till marriage. I like this part, and I notice that people pick and choose what they like out of a message. Don't do that, because you're robbing yourself. You're never going to get what we're talking about here today unless you take it all. And if you disagree with me, then go to God's word, because that's where we're getting this from. So once that man, the one we just finished talking about, is being completed, God makes him a helper. And we are going to come now to the role of the helper, but first let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 19, and we're going to read down to verse 22. Out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them, and whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave all names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to the beasts of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." All right. So first, we see here that God presented animals to the man, and then he presented the woman to him. And that this was not a confusing decision for the man. I'll let that sink in, because I don't think you heard me yet. God presented animals to the man, and then he presented a woman to the man, and he was not confused about which one was his helper. Mm-hmm. But, surprisingly, oddly enough, in our culture, and apparently in Bible culture, even as far back as way in the Old Testament, they had to deal with something called bestiality, which is completely disgusting, but the way that God created us to be is that we're not confused about our sexual relationships with which sex we want or what creature we want. It was made very obvious in the beginning. God presented all these other things to man, and man realized, nope, these are not suitable for me. Woman is suitable for me. God did not create another man for him. God did not create an animal for him or a robot. Yep, in 2019, you can get whatever you want and you won't be judged for it. It's acceptable now. So how does that happen? How did that happen to society? Well, Adam was created and he was put in God's presence, and it wasn't a confusing thing, but when he left God's presence, sin entered the world, and then that's what happened. Men got created, and they entered into sin, and this isn't something new. Sodom and Gomorrah, you look through the New Testament, Romans, Jude, Corinthians, Timothy, they were all dealing with very strange things that you wouldn't believe were taking place. But it is not meant for man to be with anyone other than a woman. Amen?
No.
Now that doesn't mean that we shouldn't discourage any other oriented person to come to church. A person that is of whatever they like to call themselves, they're not going to change until they're presented with the gospel, with the truth. And so we should encourage them to come to church. I remember I was sharing the gospel with a lady at a gas station. This was probably about a year or two ago. And she was sitting there, and I, you know, was going through the gospel soul winning script. And when I finished, I invited her to church. She didn't pray with me, but I invited her to church anyway. And she said, "Oh, I don't think I'd be welcome there." And I said, "Well, why not?" And she said, "Well, I'm gay." I said, "Okay, well, I'll talk to the pastor. I guarantee he'll be okay with it." And then I said, "I'm the pastor of the church there. You can come. We welcome you." And she never came. But either way, it's not like that it's our job to make people that are living in sin feel guilty. How do we expect that they're going to change? So they come to church, and then we want them to change. But we don't want them to change because of man's rules. That's religion. We don't put condemnation and guilt on them. But when you preach the word, the Holy Spirit comes and conviction comes, and it causes people to want to change. And so we don't make people feel guilty that are in that state. But we also don't necessarily, we don't advocate it and support it. There's enough churches out there that are just like, well, you know, times have changed, culture has changed, so we'll just support everybody with whoever and whatever they call themselves. Well, we don't do that either. God hasn't changed. The Bible hasn't changed. And so we're not going to change either. So we're not going to endorse it, but we're also not going to make people feel guilty about it. We're just going to preach the word and let the Holy Spirit do what he needs to do. And I've found that if we'll preach the word and we'll allow God's presence to come in the service, then people will naturally have an encounter with God, and one of two things will happen. They're going to leave here mad, or they're going to change for the better and become who God has created them to be. Amen? All right, so the woman was created to be what for the man?
A helper.
A helper. Not to dominate or to run the man's life. Can I get an amen, guys?
Amen.
Oh, I got the ladies too. Anybody that gets a helper isn't getting somebody to be the boss, but rather they are getting somebody to help fulfill the vision.
Amen?
Amen? My husband has no vision, so I created one for him. Wrong. You married the wrong dude.
Yeah.
You married somebody who didn't meet the qualifications that we previously mentioned.
Yeah.
It was your choice to marry him, so don't act like it's his fault.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, if you weren't in a hurry to be in a relationship for whatever reason, maybe your insecurities, maybe this thing or that thing, if you were more willing to take some time to get to know that person, maybe you would have found out that this person doesn't qualify to be my husband based on God's word. Not based on society, not based on culture, not based on what my mom told me, but based on what God says about a man, he doesn't qualify. Now, if you did marry an unqualified man, now it's your job to help him get those qualifications. Because someone might be in here and they're like, well, my husband, he's not lining up the way that you said he's supposed to be. It's not your job to boss him around, to push him around, to nag him. It's your job to help him get those qualifications. How do you do that? You pray for him. You encourage him. You boost his self-esteem. You support him. You embrace his decisions, and you don't put him down. Women, you want to be loved, but men were different. Men want respect. I don't know what's with this series, but it makes me pull out all these random weird songs. That never happens to me when I'm teaching anything else. But men want to be respected. So, but what are ladies doing? They're going around undermining and talking badly about their husband and about his decisions. How do you expect him to be the man in the garden? The man that God created, when all you do is going around barking about every decision that he's made that's wrong, trying to push him around. If you married the man without the qualities that he should have, help him get them and be patient with him. Proverbs chapter 11 and 22. If you think I'm insulting, just read Proverbs. You'll find out I'm actually pretty nice. Proverbs 11:22 says, a beautiful woman who lacks discretion is like a gold ring in a pig's mouth. That's Bible, not me. Okay? So you see what I mean? I'm nice. The Bible, that's harsh. A beautiful woman who lacks discretion is like a gold ring in a pig's mouth. So you running down your man is lacking discretion. And it's definitely not helping him. Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. The wise woman builds her marriage, builds her family. The foolish destroys it. So, anybody that's ever built a house knows that you need some things. What do you need when you go to build a house? First, before you even get to the foundation, you have to do what? You have to have property. What else? Clear some stuff out. Yep, it's all true. You need a plan. Before you get to doing anything, you need to have a plan, right? And then you need blueprints. And then, like you said, you need a good foundation, which means you got to clear some stuff out of the way. You got to make the land is properly designed for that building to be on. And then you put good foundation in. You need good materials to build with, solid walls, a good roof that doesn't leak. Then you need to, ladies, decorate it and install good appliances. So a wise woman will do this for her husband and family. She sees her husband and figures out, how do I build him up? She looks at who he is and comes up with a plan for not how do I change him, but how do I support him? How do I encourage him? What are his strengths? And how can I encourage him to make decisions along those lines of what he's strong in? And where is he lacking? And how can I help fill that lack? It's not complaining about him. She knows the needs of that man and makes sure they are taken care of. Guys, this is where you say amen. The woman sees the needs that a man has, and she says, I'm taking care of them. You know, so for guys, a lot of times those are sexual needs. And women, let me tell you this, if you're not taking care of those needs, if you're not helping him in that area, somebody else gladly will. It might be another woman, it might be a computer screen, it might be a sheep, a robot, but somewhere and somehow that man will be gratified. Like I said, 2019, a guy will figure that out. There's just about any way he'll pay for it if he has to. He'll just, that's what guys do. They will find a way to meet that need. So women, make sure that you are that need fulfillment. Amen? A wise woman builds her house. She sees that for a successful marriage, she has to help him. Women, you know that men are visual creatures. So give them something to look at. Okay, now this is much more specific to married couples. Obviously, it's a little different when you're single. You have to dress appropriately. You don't want to cause that guy's mind to wander. But when you're married, you're allowed to get creative in this area. You what? There it is. You guys are waking up. That's what I've been waiting for. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to go out and try and look like a Hollywood magazine cover. That's probably fake anyway. Most of it is. But, you know, some simple things. Taking a bath. Having some nice clothes to put on. Do your nails. Do your hair. Help the man. He's a visual person. Help him. He won't be interested in anyone else if you decide, I'm going to make it my job to help my man with his visual creativity. Verse 25 says, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Naked and unashamed is how you should be in marriage. Amen? You shouldn't be ashamed in front of each other. God designed our bodies to be what they are. There's nothing to be ashamed of. And as a married couple, you should embrace that. Literally. But you guys are getting some of those. A foolish woman destroys her house. She says, you're not touching me tonight. They think, well, you know, I'm too holy for my husband. Or, you know, we had a fight, we had an argument, so you can sleep on the couch. A foolish woman will destroy her marriage like that. The Bible says when you get married, your body is not your own. Now, guys, that doesn't mean that you can just come in acting like a brute and just think like, just get in the sack, I'm going to have my way with you after you've been a complete jerk. That's not the way it works either. You know, ladies, they need to be warmed up a little bit. You know, you got to, the dean of our Bible school says sex starts in the kitchen. You know, it's like, you know, you help out with the dishes, you get some compliments, sweetheart, this tastes great, you're so beautiful. You know, you start warming them up a little bit. Maybe you bring them a gift, something. I mean, sometimes guys, we're just like, hey, I want this now, let me have it my way. That's not the way that it generally works. And in a good marriage, both the man and the woman will be very happy and they'll both be gratified. Guys, it's our job to make sure that our wife is gratified. Look, I understand this is, you know, not something that we typically talk about in church, but, you know, this isn't just for the world to discuss. It's for us to discuss too. Guys, it's our job for women to have their needs met as well. Now, they might not be as necessarily forceful as we are. They're a little more delicate, but you have to make sure that they're being taken care of in this area as well.
Yeah.
All right, just as a woman wants to be proud of the way her home is cleaned and decorated, she wants to be proud of the man she displays. I promise you this, if it wasn't for my wife, I would probably be here this morning wearing gym shorts, a t-shirt, and my Adidas flip-flops. Those Adidas flip-flops are the most comfortable things that I ever, that you can ever wear. You gotta get the right ones, though. I mean, like, when I wear them to family events, I bring them, I'm that guy that brings my flip-flops to somebody's house just because my flip-flops are so comfortable. You know, I'm not saying I wear my shoes, I wear them there. Like, in the winter, you wear your shoes there. And then you get in the house and you bring your flip-flops. But I do that. You know, that's how ridiculous I am with that. You know, so you got to have the right ones. Every time I go to Thanksgiving and I bring them, my brothers are there. I have them for about 5 minutes. If I slip them off for a second, they're gone. My brothers are wearing them. Somebody has them. So finally, I think I got my brother a pair of them. And then he actually messaged me not too long ago and he said, hey, all those times that I stole your flip-flops, now I'm reaping a harvest because my wife has been taking my flip-flops from me. So, you gotta have the right pair, but I'm telling you, if it wasn't for my wife, when I first went to Bible school, Brian and I, we broke down there together. We both went to our first Sunday service in Tampa. It was like, you know, 1,000 people are there or something like that, and everyone down there, they're all in clothes and stuff, so they're all wearing suits, ties, shirts, nice stuff. And we come in wearing our gym shorts, our Crocs, and our t-shirt. I remember, I think it was like the first Sunday that we were there, I remember Brian had these bright green Crocs on. They were Crocs. He was like, you can't get the Crocs, you gotta go with the original. We didn't even want like the brand. What were those ones called? No one cares. So I just get the Crocs, and you know, next thing I know, Brian goes front to the altar, and I think, if I remember right, I have this picture of Brian going to the front of the church, like during the worship. This wasn't necessarily their practice to do this. He kind of like laid down at the front of the altar, which, I mean, it was not, of course, powerful, but all I remember is seeing just these bright green Crocs on the front, Waldies on the front carpet. And, that was the sight. But that's how, you know, growing up in Waterport for 20 years, that's what it did to us. And so we went to the gym, but we didn't know any better. But so a wife, she's proud of what she displays. If it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't, you know, you'd be shocked at the things I would be wearing. So the other day, for the first time in our marriage, I put on a camo shirt, and I noticed that she was kind of quiet about it, which is unusual because normally the insults come right away. And after a little while, after a few minutes, I was like, because we were actually going out on a date, and, you know, I was like, and I wear it, she's like, that feels kind of good on you. So I don't know what happened there, you know, but the Lord's the Lord is merciful. His mercies are new every morning. So you never know what what's gonna happen. She didn't see it. Good call. The camo threw her off. So ladies, you can help your husband in this area. You know, and guys, you know, maybe it's okay to open up, and I realize that I have no talent when it comes to shopping, so I don't care, I just let my wife do it. She enjoys it, I don't, so I just let her, you know, buy my stuff, whatever. No big deal. One less thing I have to do. You know, I know some guys, not going to pick on anyone in particular, like my brother, but he, you know, his wife wants to have him look nice, but he, like, refuses to wear anything she buys him. I don't know what his deal is. She's just trying to help him out. Some guys don't want to be helped. But we need it. Whether we like to admit it or not, we need the help. A wise woman strengthens his confidence and tells him that he can do it. A foolish woman destroys her husband's confidence. She tells him, you're good, you're good for nothing, you're lazy, you never help me, you this, you that, blah, 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 and they run him down. And then, you know, someone says, but it's true. He really is those things. Well, it doesn't matter if those things are true. You're the helper. And you telling those things is definitely not going to fix anything. It's not going to help him. To point out his flaws and be like, you're so lazy. You're no count, no good. They said you was high class, but it was a lie. You know. I heard that in a sermon from Dr. Gene, and then I quoted it, and I realized that the series that he was teaching was like 15 years old, so then I realized why no one gets it when I say that, but it's in the song, You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog, you know? It's a line from there. Anyway. But so, you know, they do a good job of being able to run their husbands down. But remember, God created you to be the helper. He wired you with creative abilities to help. You have energy, you have wisdom, creativity. If your man is a bum, use wisdom to get him off the couch. Create a plan. Figure out what motivates him. Don't just sit there and nag him. All you do is come home and sit on the couch, blah, 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 blah. Figure out. Ladies, that's why you're smarter than us. You got to figure us out and then come up with that plan. What's the motivation that my husband needs to get him up and to get him producing? Amen? When he feels respected, he will be much more likely to help you and want to change. So when you do things respectfully and you can help them that way, they'll change. Guys are like cattle. If you try and push around an 1,800-pound beefer, you're not going to get that thing to move anywhere. Put a little food in front of his face, and it'll just follow you wherever you go. Right? So you just got to give them a little bit of motivation, and they'll follow. They'll go along with the plan, but you just try and push and prod. And one of our friends growing up, he ended up working on a farm, and he told me the story that he worked on a cow farm, and he had this big knife with him, and I don't know if I should tell the story or not, but he took out this knife, and he wanted to just kind of like poke the cow in the back just to get it to move, but he hit it in a soft spot, and the knife just like sunk right in, and like the cow didn't even move. He pulled it out, it went in pretty deep, it just like, I don't even think it bled or anything, I don't know where he did it, but that cow just stood there. So you gotta figure out, how do you motivate the thing? You can either give them some inspiration, or you can, I know, I should have said it, it's like animal cruelty, right? Sometimes my memory just pulls up these wild stories. I know why he's laughing, he knows who it was. But it's true, right? Isn't that what happened? Yeah. Cow didn't go anywhere. I don't know, there's something, you just can't push them around. And guys, you can't be pushed around either, you gotta leave them.
Yes.
That's what I was trying to say. Put some food in front of them, you know? A good helper, a wise woman, learns how to do something the best way possible. If you go to college and you're picking out a school, what should you do? Well, you should look at that school and you should figure out how many graduates is this school turning out that's actually having them go out and get jobs. You know, I mean, you can go to school and get a degree in whatever you want, tribal music, underwater basket weaving, whatever. You can do all that stuff, and you're not going to go out and get a job.
Right.
Longer Burger went out of business, right? So basket weaving is in low demand. But anyway, I'm picking on my mom. That's a sore subject. That was her company for years and years. But so when you look at a school, you figure out how many successful graduates are coming out of this school. And that ensures you that you get a good training, right? Because you're like, well, this school is reputable. They're obviously giving people something that is causing them to be productive. And so if you're going to learn how to build a house or do construction, what would you do? You wouldn't go to a company that, you know, they keep getting sued because their houses are falling apart, right? You would want somebody that is successfully building houses and selling those houses, correct? What do most women do when they have problems in their marriage? They go talk to the woman that's had 3 divorces and has no good thing to say about any man. And then they wonder why their marriage isn't getting any better, but it's in fact getting worse and they're filling up with problems. They go to the most bitter women that just hate men, and they're like, well, yeah, you should hear what my husband did. I'm talking about my husband 3 husbands ago. He this and this and this. Well, and you want to know why your marriage is struggling. You got to look, if you're going to go get advice from somebody on marriage, find somebody that has done it successfully. Right? Not just somebody that's angry and that will be glad to hear your problems and to, agree with you. Yeah, men are just pigs. They're this, they're that. They're whatever. So when you find someone that can actually help you, not someone who's just going to tear down and make the problem even worse. A wise woman knows how to create an environment of peace. Proverbs 21:19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Like I said, Proverbs has a sweet way of saying things. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Now you know why guys like hunting. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That's not why I like hunting. I've liked hunting well before women came into the picture. My woman. But a woman, she has tact, she has wisdom, she has a plan. She knows when her man walks in the door and she tells him 16 different things that he immediately needs to do after he has finished working that day, that he isn't going to be happy. So, ladies, these are things that, you know, coming from a husband, maybe just work on these things. If when he comes home, the first thing you do is take care of his belly, and then tell him how proud you are of him, thank him for working so hard for us, then I guarantee that those 25 pictures and mirrors that you need hung up all over your house will go up a lot quicker. Why are you laughing? Did you take that personally?
Yes.
I didn't say you're...
Right.
My wife loves buying things that need to be hung on the wall, and that is like one of my least favorite things to do. I'm running out of pay people to come and hang my stuff on the wall because I hate it. No matter how hard I try, the more I measure it, the worse it gets. It's the most bizarre thing. You should see when we move out of our current home into our new home, I don't know what's going to be left of the walls. We're going to have to basically put all new drywall up because, I mean, there's the number of holes. It looks like someone took a 12-gauge full of bird shot and just unloaded on it. But no guy wants to be home with an angry wife. So, ladies, be happy. Be joyful. Be peaceful. And when your husband comes home, take care of him. I know, like, sometimes that doesn't always work out because you're in the middle of changing a diaper, or this thing happens. Sometimes there's chaos. I understand your kids sometimes things don't always go the way you'd like them to go, but in general, you know, don't try and just overwhelm your guy the minute he gets home. And that's being smart, figuring out how can I, and you know what? I shouldn't say that as a rule in general, because for some guys, they might not care. Maybe they like coming home and they like getting a list of stuff to do because they just like being busy. You got to figure it out for your guy. You got to figure it out for your husband. It's not like that rule fits for everyone. But in general, figure out, does my spouse like this or not like this? And then figure out, what can I do to find the right way to get it, rather than just trying to fight to get what you want. Amen? A wise woman figures out how to help her husband. She sets him up for success. She makes him confident. She takes care of his sexual needs. She prays for him. She doesn't try to hinder his plans, but she supports and figures out how to make those plans come to pass. She doesn't gossip about him. She is his number one fan. Ladies, if you're single and you want to get married, just like the guys, this is your time to prepare and to seek God with all of your heart. Let him sort you out and take out your insecurities away, and let him fulfill your emotional needs. If you're married, then stop ragging on your husband. Stop withholding yourself from him because you're too holy. Start building him up. Encourage him. Make sure you are the only woman that knows how to fulfill his needs. And if his needs are being met, he won't look anywhere else. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.